Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances of the Blessed Mother somewhere in the world where she has appeared during the last 2,000 years. Yeah, it's a long time, 2,000 years. She's been busy because we've documented at least 2,654 and counting visits, according to the International Research Center, the Marian Research Center in Dayton, Ohio, and also the Miracle Hunter, who is also known as Michael O'Neill, who now appears on EWTN. He had literally every one of these documented on his website. So it's not a number I made up. They are out there, and despite there being that many, I've still only studied 101. So that's only about 4% of the total of what's been documented, and I even know some that aren't even listed. So it's quite a number of appearances, and I certainly didn't know anything about this 11 years ago. It was brand new to me, and I, having studied human behavior all my life and working with people in counseling, I was fascinated. And then I found out that this stuff is real and very supernatural. And it's not my opinion alone, that many scientists, researchers, psychologists, medical people, therapists, etc., all say the same thing. In fact, no one has been able to explain it or find a rational reason other than it's real and heaven is really making contact through Mary and also Jesus. Now, some of you might say, yeah, right. Well, sorry, but we're just collecting the data and passing it on to you and trying to give you the best researched information, and you can decide what you think. But I will say this, if you followed this show for a while, you will notice that there are definite, specific, and clear patterns in the appearances, in the methods, in the presentation, in the words, in the messages, and every prediction Mary has given, as far as I can tell, has always come true. Now, it's not because she's prophet. It's because she tells us. God tells her what to say, and she passes it on. You can't go wrong if God's giving you the messages, and all she does is repeat what she's told to say. So no wonder she gets it right. We shouldn't be surprised. But it's not because she's so terrific in her prophetic ability. That's not it. She's a liaison between heaven and us, having been an earthly soul first and now a heavenly soul who God chooses and has always chosen to be special and to work with us, as is Jesus working with us. They're quite a team, and so much to say about all that. But we'll just, before we go back to South Korea and, some amazing messages and other information tonight, but we have quite a crew on board here. We have Joseph from Colorado. Hey, Joseph.
Hello. Really, how you doing?
Yeah. And we have Michael from New Jersey.
Hello.
And Kathy from, I said Missouri, New Jersey. And Kathy from Missouri.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
And actually, joining us briefly here before he goes into listening mode is Mr. Donald Hartley. You may say a few words, Donald, if you'd like to greet everybody.
Hey, Donald.
He's probably off listening to something else at the moment. Oh, well, he missed his chance. We'll get back to him.
No, there he is. Oh.
No.
I thought I heard him in the background.
Yeah, he was in the background. Well,
oh.
We'll get with him later.
Just think of what we accomplished. We caught him speechless. That's hard to do.
That's funny. Well, if he listens to the show later, like he often does, he'll go, "Oops, he missed his intro." We'll have him back later. He'll be with us listening the whole show. All right. Well, Kathy, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good, good. And Joseph, any news from Colorado since we last talked to you?
Yeah, I'm not doing so hot. I met with a couple that a girl's pregnant, and her two friends also had sex with this guy. Now these girls are telling me that they're 20 and 21, and I'm looking at them and saying to myself, "Nah, you know, you're teenagers," and he's telling me he's 26. And I'm like, no, you're probably 36. And exactly. And so we're talking and talking, and finally I excuse myself to go to the bathroom, and I actually excuse myself to call the police. And somehow he felt it. I guess it was gone too long. And he's like, "Did you call someone?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? What's the bathroom?" And somehow he knew it. He got up and ran out. And so by the time the cops come, he was gone. And the girls wouldn't give him up. You know, they wouldn't say who he is, what he is. And yes, they were 15 and 16. You know, and he was. Who knows what age for real, but certainly, you know, above age. No matter what age, if he was 20, you know, he's in trouble. And yeah, he was in his 30s. So the cops leave, and the girls and I outside talking, and the pregnant one got very upset. And she hits me in the face in a shove, and I fell backwards, and I hurt myself. I'm pretty miserable. This was Friday night, and last night I ended up going to the hospital because I had two bumps, one in my neck, one in my lower back, and to find out the lower back one is an abscess, and so they drained it, but my pain is still just ridiculous. I mean, you know, my pain's always pretty bad, and this is another level. It's just I'm so uncomfortable. Meanwhile, I had to cook for the men's home today that I volunteer, I cook, you know, I buy everything. I cook for them once a month, about 20 people. And so that really kicked my butt. And but I made chicken marsala. And then it was one of the guys' birthday. And so they had asked me, you know, they had asked me a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you know, can you make a cake? Or you? I usually make brownies from scratch, and they just die for them. Most people do. And I'm like, yeah, I could do a cake. So I still made the brownies. And then the house mother is allergic to half the world, so I made her own blueberry cakey cookies, and I made strawberry shortcake, again, all from scratch. And I made her own chicken dish and roasted garlic, broccoli and cauliflower, and pasta for everything, because a lot of sauce, you know, for the marsala. Very good. So I wore myself out, though. I mean, I'm just I'm pretty miserable.
I was going to say, if you cook that well when you're in pain, I wonder what you cook when you're feeling good. Holy cow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. I'm a hard case, you know. Yeah, I go for it. You know, I'm a chef, so, you know, it's Wow. That's not the hardest. That's not the hardest thing to make, you know. So,
let's get some reactions from everyone else. What do the rest of you guys think? That's pretty amazing. Anybody out there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're here.
And that's absolutely wonderful, Justin. And what a gift you gave.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I thank God for that every day that he gave me that talent. And, you know, it's certainly a wonderful way to give back, you know, whether I'm cooking for them, whether I'm cooking for the homeless, whether I'm cooking for a charity, whether I'm cooking for a church function. You know, it's just such a gift that I, you know, that I can always do, you know, pretty much no matter how miserable I am, you know, and, you know, one-handed, you know, don't forget that.
Oh,
I can't use my right arm at all, you know, so.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's all one-handed.
Well, well, Joseph, you know the old saying, you know, there's an old saying, if you want to attract a crowd, feed them.
Yep, exactly. And it happens too. You know, whether it's Knights of Columbus or the church itself or whatever, people are like, you know, is Joseph cooking? You know, they will ask. Okay,
wow.
Yeah, I'll come. You know, yeah.
Wow. Well, I wish we were all there in the same town so we could be helping you out. I mean, we'd all be right there on the team, but we're just too far spread away and too far out. But,
you'd be helping so you can get a taste of it. Yeah, come on now.
Well, I didn't think about that, but I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's great. Well, thank you, Joseph, for that report. You're just amazing.
You're welcome.
I still wish we could do a movie on your life, because I don't think anyone would believe it was true. They would be so amazed.
Exactly. I've said, a title would be, you know, it could only happen to me, or can it happen to you? Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, guys, we're going back to South Korea tonight. We got some great messages, and we'll just dig right in here. And anybody can stop me at any time. If you want to make a comment, just say, John, you know, just yell out, and I'll stop and see what comments you might want to make. Mary is talking to a bishop through Julia, and the Julia Kim is the visionary in Naju, South Korea. And she was very pleased with a bishop who was visiting, and this is what she said to this particular bishop. Beloved bishop, my dear son, who I can put in my eyes without feeling any pain, make it known in a hurry. Make known to everyone the mystery of the Eucharist, in which the Lord is truly present, and the burning love of my immaculate heart. And thus, help the little soul whom I have chosen, when you follow me, keeping in mind that helping her is helping me. I will mark you with a seal of flame of the sublime and powerful love from my burning immaculate heart. Therefore, do not avoid me or be hesitant because of the desires of the corruptible body, face-saving and other eyes. In the church, covering up one's own faults, having the spirit of being critical of others, and being quick and thorough about finding fault in others are what theorists do, not priests. That is because even though reasoning is necessary, one must not jump to an impatient judgment on the love of the soul who is immersed in love. Because even many of the clergy know with their brains and say with their mouths that a pursuit of the world and the flesh will lead to perdition, and that a pursuit of the spiritual matters will lead to eternal happiness, but are not practicing it. I called the bishop who is following me in a special way and wished to spread the burning love of my Immaculate Heart. I like this next part. She says, become littler like children. I invite you to heaven where only little souls can enter, because the gate of heaven is small and large, or I would think arrogant souls cannot enter it. You must become littler continuously and bring many souls to me so that they may be nurtured with my spiritual milk of love and become little souls. My babies, who have been invited to become little souls, the cup of God's wrath is overflowing because the world has reached a saturation point with sins and great degradation. Expedite your efforts, remembering that the time of judgment is being delayed because of the little souls' small number. When the number of the little souls increases, God's voice of wrath and breath of anger will turn into blessing, and this world will become the kingdom of the Lord. It is now the very time of purification. And this is about 1990, roughly. Hurriedly, hold my hands and stay in the burning Sacred Heart of Jesus and the burning Immaculate Heart of this Mother, and offer up yourselves totally and spread the Lord's love according to the words of this Mother, who is the helper in redemption, in order to save this world, which has become corrupt and polluted in great degradation. Then even the souls who are rushing on the road to hell may return to the bosom of the Church through you, who think you are unqualified. My beloved little souls, my son Jesus saved numerous souls with his cruel and terrible sacrifices, but numerous children continue offending him and are not responding to the sublime love in his sacrifices. But the burning Sacred Heart of Jesus and my Immaculate Heart are waiting for the return of all the children by leaving the door widely open, and wish that this obstinate and wicked world will repent hurriedly and that the kingdom of the Lord will be accomplished. I'll stop there just for a second. Any comments or thoughts? It's a lot of stuff.
What does it mean to be a littler soul?
To be a littler soul? I think it means to be humble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To not be large like with arrogance, but to be small with humility. That's the way I take that.
Yeah.
Just thinking of yourself very little.
Well, no, I don't think it means that. but it, you know, not to belittle yourself or to condemn yourself, but to be small in your attitude, be humble and more innocent. And they said in the Bible to be innocent, like children.
Like childlike. Yeah.
Right, to be childlike. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good way of putting it. We know children are, well, I can't say today they're so humble, but innocent little children, little tiny children are pretty humble and innocent. But some of them get a mouse on them pretty quick.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Well, going on, she says, my dear souls who have responded to my anxious calls, I already said those souls who carry their crosses following the Lord, spread and practice the gospel, and accept my messages of burning love will be saved and enjoy eternal life. However, she says, numerous souls implore me for help as if hanging on to a life buoy only when they are in pains and after they receive the graces they have been asking for, they return to their miserable lives instead of reforming their lives and practicing my messages of love because of the preposterous false rumors and their pride. That is why my heart is hurting so much that I make a request to the bishop who came to me today. Help prepare a tabernacle beside me and celebrate Mass. Consult with the bishop of this diocese and the pastor so that Masses may be celebrated in this chapel. Quench my thirst by complying with my earnest and anxious request. That way, prepare wholesome opportunities to present the joy of love and repentance to those souls who have become so infected with sin that they have even lost their sense of a direction and are wandering about. Now, consecrate your souls to the cause that is precious to them and become dissolved in the divine virtues of faith, hope, and charity in a holy and universal way. As I will always be beside you who are following me, do not have fear or be not afraid of anything, but spread my messages. Those who are now opposing and criticizing you will beat their chests and repent later, making the number of the people on your side increase. The reason I speak often and repeat my request is that many of the clergy, religious, and lay children do not understand my words. Who will be responsible if the herds of sheep, which have become lost, get dispersed and fall into hell? The subjects of Satan are dazzling many souls, even by secretly employing spiritualism. Therefore, hurriedly discern them and spread my messages of love solidly to the whole world. Thus, let us enjoy eternal happiness together with the Lord, who is truly present in the Eucharist. You who are following me and working for me will surely stand by my side and see the glory. Wow, what a message. Anyone have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I mean, you know, as long as they have faith, belief, that they will experience, you know, good. And, you know, they have to trust in God always, you know, that he is with us, and Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are with us, and they can help us through anything. And so to hear a message, you have to take it for real, you know, and you're going to experience something wonderful by doing it. People just have to be more open to it.
Yes. Yes, and I like it when she said that, you know, some people just ask for something, and then as soon as they get what they want, then they go back to sinning and don't really reform their way. Oh, that's
sadly
so many people. Like they say, no atheist in a foxhole. All of a sudden,
I got to save my life.
As soon as you're saved, then you go back to your little thing.
I think that's insane that you experience something, you believe it, and you know it was a miracle, and you're going to go back. You know, maybe it doesn't mean you're going to become, you know, extraordinary in some way, but come on, you know, do the right thing. You know, why wouldn't you follow through with that and want to change your life? You know, and again, maybe it doesn't mean, you know, great things. Maybe you're not going to be a millionaire or the holiest man in the world, but you're going to experience, you know, great love, you know, and I'm not how people can throw that away.
Hey, Donald, are you listening right now?
I'm now listening. I sure am. I just got to put some stuff up. But, yes, I am listening.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, since we're talking about no atheists in a foxhole, did you encounter many people having a change of faith when they were faced with dangerous situations in the military?
Yes, I will tell you that. And one of the things I will tell you, when I was in Iraq, one of the things that a lot of the units that went out on patrols would, you know, they would recite Psalms 91 or, you know, and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And a lot of them would put rosaries in the front of the cab, you know, when they're driving down and doing formations and patrols. And a lot of times we were hit by IEDs and what have you. And wherever that happened, and there was a massive destruction of the vehicle with the rosary inside there, nobody was hurt. And, you know, prayer was a lot of – and we formed the Rosary Patrol in 2006 in Iraq as a result of soldiers going outside the wire, to include ourselves as well. We went outside the wire quite a bit. I spent many, many air miles in helicopters, Black Hawk, Chinooks, but Black Hawks, you know, going from one area of Iraq to another area, looking over, because I was the UMO guy, so I had to inspect all our sensitive items and everything, all our from off throughout wherever we were at. And so I was going all over the place with doing that by air like that. And also my soldiers, you know, I had medics doing patrols. And I was out there checking on my senior line medics and all my medics wherever I was at. So I had multiple hats that I wore out there. And, yes, I did see a lot of examples where people, their faith, you know, grew as a result of what they were confronting and facing and the threat that they were facing. Faith helped
and
a lot of people through it.
Did they hang on to it? Because that's what Joseph and I were wondering is, after having such an experience where they moved at that moment but then returned later to their old ways.
I would say the majority of those within my sector held on to it. In fact, many of them became Catholic. In fact, many of them I was able to help bring into the Catholic faith through the the RCIA and getting ready for Easter vigil over there, that we did all these things. And so we have many, many, many soldiers. Many of my own platoon was also received into the Catholic Church. And one beautiful story, when I after I retired out of the Army, one of my soldiers, he was the youngest soldier that I took to Iraq. He was like 17 years old. And he was just basically a kid, but he became a man very quickly. And I tell you this: after I retired out of the Army, he moved down to San Antonio, and I got the message from him that he wanted me to receive him and sponsor him into the Catholic Church, and that is just such a wonderful thing, and what an honor, you know. To do that and to be a part of that.
Beautiful thing, yes.
And with that, folks, we have witnessed Donald Hartley returning to our program in perfect form. I'm so thrilled to hear our old friend Donald Hartley back in the saddle. And he's taking it easy, but I wanted to ask him those questions, and that's why I brought him on at this time. Any reactions from anybody?
Well, first place, it's wonderful to hear Donald, you know, they're very blessed and that you've come through it, and I'm sure you've learned something from that, and as I have through all my medical, you know. But it's wonderful to see the people that you've seen grow, especially such a great number, come into the faith, and that's a wonderful thing.
I'll tell you this: Satan made a huge mistake with me, because Satan thought that he could, slow me down here. But what he did not realize is that, yes, he may have had some damage, my brain damage a little bit as a result of that stroke. But what Satan wasn't counting on is that I had so much brain cells up there that I don't use.
Yeah, we'll see about that. All
plus,
right.
The Lord is healing us with our. The Lord
our
is healing me
here.
Through
yes,
your prayer
is.
And through the, he is healing me. I will tell you this: I did a CAT scan just the other day, and the doctor came out and said that there was no new concern of any new strokes that he has seen or anything. Nothing is telling him of that, but that he did tell me that I did have some brain damage as a result of that stroke, and so that's why they're very careful about me. My eyes came out very well because they were checking my left eye specifically because, they thought it affected my left eye, but it came out perfect. My heart has come out perfect. A lot of my blood tests are coming out good. So I'm very thankful, and I want to thank – and I had the Archbishop Naumann there. He did the Lord's prayer over me. He did the anointing of the sick over me. And he laid his hands on top of me and gave me the anointing of the sick. And where he placed and where he laid his hands was right where that stroke was. Oh, man.
Oh, nice.
It was.
That's awesome. Well,
Don, it sounds like you literally have half your brain tied behind your back just to make it fair.
I did talk to Archbishop Naumann, and I said I want to thank him for allowing me to be a co-worker with him in the same way that once a forest was a co-worker with St. Paul. In the New Testament, St. Paul had nearly 100 co-workers. Two would become future popes like St. Linus and St. Clement, and two bishops like Timothy and Titus. And I feel honored that I am that the Archbishop is allowing me to be a co-worker with him to speak at these conferences and ignite the fires with John Carpenter and myself. Usually when we pair off usually together when we do the ignite the fires together, and I to me that's a blessing, John.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, we're going to let you rest now, and I thought it'd be therapeutic for you to come on and share your military experiences. Not only perfect timing, but I thought that would be a good therapeutic use of your brain. So,
thanks.
We'll let you rest now. All right. Well, going on with the message, with tears flowing from Julia Kim's statue of the Blessed Virgin. On July 18, 1985, Julie receives a message from Mary that day about the tears flowing, and that's always a nice treat when the statue can tell you why it's crying. Mary said, quote, "I am sad. Many people still do not believe, even after they saw my bloody sweat and tears, saying that these are just drops of plain water. I ask you to spread the truth. Do you know the heart of my son Jesus that has been torn apart? His heart is torn apart continually as human sins increase more and more and disorder spreads. Mend his torn heart. For the prevention of wars and for the conversion of sinners, let the fragrance of roses spread all over the world. This is truly a weapon." That's interesting. She says it that way. The smell of roses is known by the saints as the odor of sanctity because it happens so often. And some of us have experienced that ourselves as we've been at holy places.
Anyway, Mary goes on to say, my heart aches intensely because of the unrestrained use of birth control. Prevent abortions and pray for those who carry out abortions. Spread the fire of love that is flaming up from my heart. The fire of love. I want you to be happy. A husband and wife are joined together so that they may lead a happy life. But my son becomes brokenhearted when they hate each other and do not forgive each other. Love one another. Who are your closest neighbors? How can you say that you love me and love the Lord while you do not even know or love those in your family? Sanctify your family by practicing love and harmony with one another. This is what my son Jesus thirsts for. Achieve unity among those who volunteer to do my work. In doing so, become sacrificial victims. Well, that's you, Joseph. Those who work for me and Jesus are scattered from one another. As the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, you must also become one. Become good examples to one another by uniting in humility. All right. And then on August 11th, 1985, Julia says, while I was praying, a strong wind blew noisily, almost extinguishing the candlelight in front of the Blessed Mother statue. At that moment, I thought the candlelight would go out, but I began hearing Mary's voice. And she says, praise the Lord. Do not weep because of my tears, but look at my son Jesus and console him who wears a crown of thorns and sheds blood and sweat. Pray for priests without ceasing. They are now like a lamplight before wind. They are being subjected to temptations. The windows of rectories are left open. Through the open windows, three devils of pride, materialism, and lust are peeking in. Close the rectory windows. Become sacrificial victims for priests. I am helping them too. So support them to the end because they are my most precious and beloved sons. Wow, that was pretty powerful. All right. Any comments on that?
Yes, you know, definitely very powerful. You know, it's, you know, and, you know, abortion, you know, being mentioned and, you know, the stuff you experience when you deal with that and you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. They're amazing, and you know how blessed you are when you've changed someone's life, that you've saved their baby and saved their soul, and when they really get that, you know, that's a big thing. You know, some sadly just take it in stride, and they don't think about what they were doing. You know, I think they don't want to think about it, you know, that potentially they were going to make the biggest mistake of their lives, and the ones that have made the biggest mistake of their lives, and people have to acknowledge that, because that's what it is. It's a huge mistake, and when that life is saved and changed, you know, there's something to it, and they should really grasp onto that.
Absolutely. Well, the next section here, Kathy, you'll probably really like this. Julia is going to talk about her visions of heaven that she was given. And she says, heaven is our true home. Julia says, quote, angels are performing a beautiful and majestic symphony and chorus to welcome the souls who are entering heaven. Also, numerous saints are welcoming them with loud cheers. Jesus is waiting for them with open arms, and the Blessed Mother is stretching out her hands to hold them. God the Father is smiling, expressing a welcome with his eyes, and Saint Joseph is also greeting them joyfully. It's really cool when the Marian visionaries are given visions of heaven and purgatory and hell, and she was. Here's the rest of it. She says, heaven is a place where there is no jealousy or envy. All are practicing love with one another. It is overflowing with love, peace, and joy. It is a place of heavenly banquet where one never becomes hungry, even without eating. The Blessed Mother prepared crowns of flowers and is putting them on everyone. They are dancing, holding each other's hands. In the flower garden, Jesus and the Blessed Mother are together, holding up her mantle, and all are entering the inside of the mantle. All are humble to each other and are keeping order to avoid inconveniencing others. Their faces are full of smiles and are beautiful. And I know, having done my research for my book, that fits everything what others have said about heaven. It just fits completely.
Heaven is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. What do you think when you heard that?
Everything. Yeah, it reminds me of your book, and I've been reading on that again. I get so busy, but I opened it this week, and gosh, I just can't wait.
Didn't it just take you away? You just
escaped
into heaven
today,
for a while.
Today at Mass, Father's homily was about our earthly, something about washing. Oh, he was talking about Lazarus coming out of the tomb and how he was still wrapped in his grave clothes. And the grave clothes is, Father said it like they represent our spiritual death. Like he raised him from the dead, but then when he told him to unbind him, told the apostles to unbind him and let him go free, it was like removing original sin and taking off those grave clothes. And that made me think of in the heaven book where they washed in the river coming out of the side of the throne of God, and mm-hmm. they could breathe underwater, and it felt, and the guy that was there just visiting, he said, what is it that I feel? And his friend that had already been to heaven was showing him around. He says, that's all the earthliness washing off of you. That's the rest of it, you know.
Yes, I definitely remember that. Yeah.
And that makes me think of the grave clothes. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Kathy. That is beautiful. She also saw purgatory, and this is what her vision of purgatory was. Julia says, it is a place where one must walk into the terrible flames of fire. There one does, but this is a spiritual fire, you have to remember. It's not like an earthly fire. There one does the unfinished penances of this world and becomes purified. It is a place where those who died in the grace of God but still have unfinished reparations must walk into by themselves to complete the atonement. When they are completely purified, they are lifted into heaven by the Blessed Mother's help and the angels' support. The process can be expedited if we in this world pray for them. And by the way, pray aloud so they can hear you. They can't read your mind. They're not divine beings. You have to pray aloud so they can hear you. I learned that through some other research. So if we pray for them out loud, when we help them with sacrifices and penances, they can enter heaven faster. It will be too late to regret not having done penances like confession in this world. So while living in this world, one must offer love constantly through sacrifices for others. Well said, Julia. Any thoughts on that real quick?
Where how did you learn about that to pray out loud.
There's a mystic called Maria Sima, and she was an Austrian woman who was given the charism of hearing from the souls from purgatory through Mary. Mary's title with her was the Mother of Mercy. And she had always prayed for the souls fervently, and finally Mary was so impressed that she got permission for her to actually talk to and assist the souls. Like, they would come and say what they needed, and she'd make sure masses or prayers were said for them, and then they would disappear. Now, she didn't want this at first. She was terrified by it, but she ended up meeting hundreds of them over the years, and she learned a great deal from that. And they told her, we can't hear the prayers unless they're said out loud. And I thought, well, that makes sense. They're not God or Jesus, or, you know, they're human souls that, you know, need to hear our prayers. That made sense.
Totally, yes.
Yeah. Well, here's her vision of hell. Oh, yeah. She got that, too. She said, when angels tie the hands of the condemned souls and drop them, devils snatch them violently. Then they fall into the flames of fire. Is a place of perdition from which one cannot come out forever. It is useless, however hard one may regret and struggle. It is a sea of fire full of hatred. Who will grab their hands? Nobody. People struggle like a person drowning and trying to grasp even a straw, but only run around in the fire. It becomes hotter and hotter, tearing and scratching at each other and trying to take food away from each other, but all the food burns in the fire and nobody can eat anything, which makes them snarling more angrily at each other. With their protruded eyes, they become horrible devils. It was a terrible scene I could not look at with open eyes. So, anyway, what a horrific vision. But and now all that still fits my research into those both purgatory and hell. It's interesting when she says their eyes become protruding, then they become devils. I learned that since we are made in God's image, that we can't keep our humanly form in hell because it is despised, because if we are made in God's image, the devils don't want to see that down there. And so apparently after a while, we are transformed into the same kind of demonic images as all of them. And I know that's a horrific thought, but it makes sense if we are made in God's image that they don't want to see that down there. So it's interesting. I don't think you read that far yet, Kathy, did you?
No, I haven't, but it'll be good for me to read it when I get here.
Yeah, well, no one wants to read about hell for very long, and I get that. Heaven is so beautiful, it's hard to leave that chapter.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, any other thoughts
about,
on all of this? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Think about that, being in a place where you pray and God cannot hear you. You've chosen your lot and there's no hope and there's no love and there's nothing good there. It's forever. It's just nothing's worth that on earth. And people should always remember, too, never to despair, because God's mercy is bigger than our sins. It's unfathomable, and there is no sin that God will not forgive us.
Right. Yeah, I know in that research that people don't have a party down in hell. They don't get to socialize. They don't get to talk to each other. They are isolated. They are tortured, and they really feel that disconnect. Everything is dark and without light, and without light, there's no love. Whereas when you're in heaven, light and love are synonymous. Light infuses everything with love, whereas in hell, the darkness is infused with evil. It's really striking, and yet this comes from hundreds of people that give their firsthand testimonies to both realms. So anyway, it was amazing to do that research and learn what people said. There's not my opinion in the whole book, really. I just present all the testimonies that I collected from hundreds of reports and visionaries and saints and all that. So it just adds up, and it's really amazing. Well, guys, any last thoughts before we start to close out?
Well, that time already, huh?
Yeah, it goes quick. Let me check with Mr. Donald, see if he's still listening there. Mr. Donald Hartley, are you on?
I'm still listening.
Any thoughts from you?
Oh, it's just, I'm so thankful. And what Our Lady is asking and calling for there, I think this story needs to be presented. And thank you, John, for doing this, and everybody that's involved and participating. Thank you. It's good to hear your voice too, Joseph.
Well, thank
and
you,
everybody.
Thank you.
Kathy and of course Mike and everybody. Thank you all.
Well,
thank
it's
you
good
all.
To have you back. You really are great. Sounding.
Yeah, you're sounding thank great.
You. Yeah, he really is.
And, you know,
well,
something to think
hold.
About. Tomorrow, the feast of St. Vincent Ferrer. Oh, we need to pray for a priest, guy. Everybody, pray for a priest.
I love St. Vincent Ferrer.
Excellent. All right. Well, we will close out now, and we will say our worldwide Hail Mary, inviting everyone to join in. And doing so, we hope all our voices will rise up to heaven in unison, and heaven will take note that we are addressing our Blessed Mother and honoring Jesus in that way. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed are the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight and listened to this show. We hope that you were educated, inspired, or just, you know, learned something perhaps from it that might make your life different and hopefully better. We share all this in the hopes that it helps people. We gain nothing from it other than the joy of being able to do it and to share with all of you. And with that, I will say good night and God bless. And we will return next week, and we'll have the very final bit of this visit to South Korea with some amazing science that has studied the events and some final thoughts on what has taken place there. So we'll wrap it up next week for Julia Kim in South Korea. I knew we'd be there for a while, but, you know, we like to take it slow and absorb it carefully and give it fair attention. So with that, I will say good night and see you next week.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.